The root thing that angels are messengers. Angels are first and foremost messengers. The Greek and Hebrew words for angel mean messenger. Angels bring to us the Word of God. They bear the Word of God to us. So all of the other things that angels do flow from that reality: protecting, inspiring, guiding, revealing. All of those things flow from that core identity as bearers of the Word of God. And one of the things that we don't think about all that often is that when we talk about the Word of God, that word is different from a human word. Divine words and human words are different. And one of the things that we see when we look at angels and when we celebrate this feast of St. Michael and all angels, we see the difference between divine words and human words. We know right off the start that divine words are creative. Divine words call into being all that we see and all the things we don't see. That includes the order and ministries of angels. So we know that the divine word is a creative word. And the truth is that the divine creative word is different than our creative word, in that the divine creative word and the intention of that creative word and the act that fulfills the intention of that creative word all happen at the same time. God says, "Let there be light," and there's light. I can talk about light all year and not create any. Right? That's the difference between human words and divine words. Divine words always bring that fullness with them that we don't manage to do. Our words usually just point to things. I say light to make you think of light. God says light to make light. That's a difference. The closest we get to that is performative speech, like when you say your vows at your marriage. That performative speech is the closest we get to creating with our words. But all of God's words create. They're all creative. So some interesting things happen in the stories that we heard from Scripture today that tell us about angels, but in telling us about angels, tell us about the dynamics and the nature of God's word. So, for example, the text says very discreetly that Jacob stopped at a certain place. He's running away from his brother Esau, from whom he stole the inheritance and the blessing that was rightly Esau's. And he's running away. And as he's running away, it becomes night, so he stops. He doesn't choose this location. He doesn't think of it as a special location. He just stops when it gets dark to camp for the night. And he goes to sleep, and he has this dream. And the dream shows him God coming to speak to him, standing beside him and speaking to him, and shows him a ladder between heaven and earth with angels ascending and descending. So the first thing that we learn about the Word of God in that story is that it goes everywhere and anywhere. The Word of God is ubiquitous. You can run into the Word of God wherever you go. You don't have to be somewhere special. You don't have to be someone special. You don't have to be particularly morally righteous. Jacob certainly wasn't stealing things from his family. And you can still run into the Word of God. It will find you. It will show up. It will show up where you least expect it. The Word of God goes everywhere. And that's imaged for us in this story of Jacob who camps for the night. And the other thing that's so about this Word of God is that the angels that he sees are not sitting around playing harps on clouds, and they're not fat white babies with wings, right? Like the Middle Ages show us, right? No, these angels are busy. They're very busy. They're going up and down the ladder. The Word of God is busy, up and down the ladder. The Word of God is dynamic. It's active. It's on the move. I was saying to the 8 o'clockers, you know, sometimes we say a word and it doesn't go anywhere. The most prominent time that preachers experience that is when you try to put humor in your sermon and it doesn't work. Right? You put out a joke and it just sort of goes plop. And nobody laughs, right? I always tell students of preaching that humor is one of the riskiest things that you can put in your sermon. It's one of the best things to put in your sermon. But you also have to deal with the ability to go on when your word goes plop and just sits there. God's word never just sits there. It's dynamic. It's on the move. It's on the go. It's making things happen. It's going up and down the ladder. In the first chapter of the Gospel of John, that beautiful hymn, which has so much theology packed into it, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That word for word in Greek is logos. And when you study a word and you go back far enough, you discover that behind most of our words, there's a picture. There's a picture. Even simple little words like prepositions have a picture, a relational picture, because prepositions are relationship words. But all words have these pictures behind them. And if you dig into the history of the word logos, and you look at it and go back far enough, you discover that the picture behind the word logos is fire. The philosopher Heraclitus talks about a fiery logos. And the idea there is that fire is dynamic, right? A fire doesn't just sit still, it moves and dances around. It's a dynamic thing. And the imagery in Heraclitus' philosophy, and it's picked up by John in that hymn in the first part of the gospel, is of a dynamic world-ordering principle. Not a static one like we might make. You have to put the coffee in, you have to put the filter in, and you have to put the coffee in. Then you have to put the water in, then you have to hit the switch. If you put the coffee in before you put the filter, it doesn't work. Put the water in before, you know, that's a static ordering system. It must be done in the right way. A dynamic ordering system is much more complicated and much more movie than that. One of the reasons we have trouble always understanding what God is up to is because God's word is infinitely dynamic. And we can't get all that into our brains. A dynamic, the angels are going up and down the ladder, up and down, up and down. The other thing is that these angels are going up and down a ladder between heaven and earth. Because the Word of God connects heaven and earth. The words of God, by definition, are a heavenly thing, and yet they're sent to us on earth. So there's a connection there. That's why the writer of the Gospel of John connects Jesus to that ladder. Jesus tells Nicodemus, hang on, you ain't seen nothing yet. You'll see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He's the connector between heaven and earth and between the divine and the human. So words, God's word, God's speech connects heaven and earth. The other thing that's so about God's words are that God's words are transformative. They make changes. They make changes. Nicodemus is, frankly, suspicious. He's the kind of guy that always wants to wait and see. And so he's suspicious about anybody coming out of Nazareth. He's suspicious about anybody that people think might be the Messiah. He's suspicious. He's just a suspicious guy. And in the story, Jesus comes and greets him and knows him from afar. And Nathanael goes through this change. And I think the speed of the change, even just a little bit, surprises Jesus. It certainly surprises us. Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. Wow, hold on. Suspicious Nicodemus just rattled off three titles for Jesus. That's a big change. That's a huge transition. He calls Jesus Rabbi, teacher, one who can teach us. Son of God, one in God's family, that close to God. And King of Israel, the fulfiller of all of Israel's hopes. Those are big titles. And suspicious Nicodemus is the one who comes out with them. And it's because God's word transforms. And of course, God's word that is dynamic and that connects heaven and earth and that shows up where it will and is transformative, that word is made flesh in Jesus, who connects heaven and earth, the divine and the human. It's valuable for us to think about this unique nature of God's word. It's valuable for us to remember angels because they bear God's word to us. And in the process of bearing that word, they bring us blessings, they bring us comfort and encouragement, they bring us visions, they bring us protection, they do all the things that we say angels do. But the reason that they do all those things that we say angels do is precisely because they're the messengers who bear God's word to us. That word that shows up everywhere and is dynamic and creative and transformative. And it's that word that calls each of you by name and says, you are my beloved.